Well, we had a great presentation, very thought-provoking. Lots of opportunity now for discussion. And so, as we usually do, we're going to open the floor to brothers who have a question or comment. Raise your hand, and the microphone will be passed to you. Stand up and speak into the microphone for the benefit of the recording. We'll now allow for questions. Just raise your hand. Aaron Boone.
Thanks, Dad. One of the questions, if he's teaching New Testament doctrine, do we say that's in effect at this point, or do we still wait for the death on the cross for it to come into effect? Is there a waiting period in regards to what he's teaching?
Well, that's a good question. In Matthew chapter 5, how do we answer that? I would say, well, the Bible says, the New Testament came into effect at the death of Jesus. And so he's teaching New Testament doctrine. Although there's an interesting thing about Matthew chapter 5. In verse 21, if you're not angry with your brother, that's not going to cause you to sin, because you're not going to murder your brother. There's no conflict, but it is a different teaching. It's a different law. He's not expanding on the Old Testament. He's teaching New Testament teaching. But if you obey the New Testament, you would not disobey the Old Testament. And the same thing in 27 and 28. If you obeyed the New and you did not look at a woman to lust, you would not, we assume, commit adultery. There's no conflict in those. So in those cases, you would not be brought into conflict and not be forced. In fact, perhaps, and you guys can add to this, is there a New Testament doctrine Jesus teaches that brought Jews directly into conflict with the Old Testament? It's possible that there might be sometimes. But I think politically correct answer is at the death of Jesus. But someone else can make another comment.
Wouldn't you think that verse 17 through 19 speaks to this? Before he gets into the contrasting statements, he says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill." We know how he fulfilled the law and the prophets, because he said it in Luke 24. He fulfilled the law and the prophets through his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he says that nothing from the law of Moses would pass away until that happened. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments, I would think that's the commandments of Moses in this context, and teaches men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I've understood this to mean that a person who treated the law of Moses flippantly or lightly would not be a good servant of the Lord under either dispensation. So Jesus never encouraged anybody to disobey or to disregard the law under which they lived. But he did announce that the day was coming when he would fulfill the law and the prophets and take them out of the way. It seems to that he announces that right in the same context as discussion. Do you think that's accurate or fair?
I think that's fair.
All right. Other questions? Wes Bonifay.
Thanks for the very studious presentation. How is the discussion of eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth in verses 38 to 42 new relative to Proverbs 25:21, which I'll read? If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So how is Jesus teaching something new relative to that Old Testament scripture?
Well, not every teaching of Jesus was a new teaching. I kind of believe that Matthew chapter 22, when they asked Jesus in verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I kind of believe that that's true in the New Testament as well. And I believe Jesus, in teaching that and naming that as the great commandment, kind of includes that in the New Testament. Not everything in the New Testament is new to the New Testament, but everything that Jesus, when I say all, everything, sometimes we get a little too broad, but the things that Jesus taught were New Testament teachings. Sometimes he brought ideas and things from the Old Testament, and he made them part, whether they came directly from the Old Testament, like this one does, comes directly from the Old Testament. But he made them part of, he included them in the New Testament. So not every teaching of the New Testament has to be different from the Old Testament. But when Jesus says, but I say, it's included in the Old, in the New Testament.
Andrew, or AK.
If I understood Aaron's question right, I would say, yeah, I would call them preparatory teachings. And an illustration that I've heard before, if the government was going to change the highway laws so that we drive on the opposite side, like across the pond, they would tell you in advance, say, here's what's going to happen, and it wouldn't just spring it on you, so it's preparatory. They tell you beforehand, that's what Jesus would have to do. So I agree with your conclusion there.
Good job, Roger. First of all, just to say a little more, and I think you answered correctly, but when Jesus says, but I say unto you, he's giving kingdom doctrine, just like you said. He's not necessarily giving a different doctrine from the Old Testament. For example, some things today are wrong in this country that were wrong under the Articles of Confederation before we had the U.S. Constitution. But the same thing is considered wrong now. But it's wrong now because it violates the United States Constitution, not because it violated the Articles of Confederation. It just was a law that was moved over. Jesus takes some laws from the Old Testament and moves them directly over into New Testament doctrine unchanged. And sometimes he takes a doctrine and moves it over to the New Testament, but adds something to it, like being angry with your brother without a cause is the same as murder. Now, the Old Testament said you shouldn't be angry with your brother, and it also said you shouldn't murder him, but it didn't say anger was murder. Sometimes Jesus brought something over into the New Testament and maybe took something away from it and made it slightly different. And sometimes he gave an entirely new law. In verse 32, for example, as you mentioned about marriage, that's an entirely new kingdom doctrine. The original marriage law to Adam and Eve, there was no cause for divorce at all. Under Moses' law, there were many causes for divorce. In Christ, a Christian can only seek, sue for, and obtain divorce for one reason, and that is if his mate is unfaithful. But that is not the teaching of Moses' law. It's not a correction of Moses' law. Moses' law never taught that. And I think also on these quotations, in verse 31, the certificate of divorce is a citation from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 24, somewhere in verses 1 through 4. And also in verse 33, there are several passages that's the general teaching of those passages. You shall not swear falsely. Leviticus 19 and 12, Numbers 30 and 2, both of those say essentially that. But it's not a direct quote, like you said. Now, I think one thing that needs to be observed is this. It's hard to date Matthew's gospel, but Matthew's gospel, I think, was written prior to AD 70 because he mentions the prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem. And so if Matthew's gospel was printed prior to AD 70, and if Jesus were correcting the wrong views of the Old Testament to the correct view in this Sermon on the Mount, and this was published in 60-something, what would be the point, hardly? I mean, it's all going to be taken out of the way in just a few years. And there's not going to be any Jewish nation after AD 70, period. And so it's a correction without being a correction, if that was the idea. But I think what you said is exactly right, and that is he's giving kingdom doctrine in anticipation of the kingdom being established.
I think verse 31, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. I believe let him is in the imperative voice. It's an imperative. And that's not in Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 3. A certificate of divorce is discussed, but there's no imperative there. So this is some way, what he's addressing here is something that was being taught, but it wasn't, it's not clear. What Jesus says here, it has been said, is the imperative. There's no imperative in Deuteronomy 24.
It was an imperative that he divorce her, but if he did divorce her, it was imperative that he give her a certificate of divorce.
Well, we don't need to argue about that. Let's see. And you're right about 33. There's no simple command, you shall not swear falsely. 19:12, Leviticus says, you shall not swear by my name falsely. So there's a little addition. Take that out. So these are not direct quotations. And like I said, I think they got it right in there.
In regard to Wes's question about verses 38 through 42, the contrast, I think it is a contrast between an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and something Jesus was saying. I know that mercy, even to your enemies, was not something that was completely absent from the Old Testament. But it wasn't the primary principle that drove the Mosaic economy. The Mosaic economy was an earthly nation. And that earthly nation and its legal system gave an expectation of justice to its citizens. So if somebody wronged you, you could legally demand justice. Lex talionis, equal punishment for what was done against you. The kingdom of Christ is altogether different. The expectation of justice is utterly removed. We have no right to demand justice as Christians. Instead, we're called upon most of the time to sacrifice justice in the interests of higher spiritual principles. So I think there is a striking contrast there where the whole nature of God's people in this earth is changing, and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth has no place in the Christian system. And that other concept that was present in the Old Testament, but secondary, is magnified and becomes the predominant ethical imperative, if that makes sense. All right, any other questions? We'll go to Lauren Gall, and then Unity.
So how does New Testament teaching in this instance differ from clarifying the intent of the Old Testament law?
Well, I just don't think that's the point. He's not trying to clarify the intent. We know intent from actual words, you know. In you shall not murder. The law was you shall not murder. To be angry then at a brother without a cause is not clarifying the intent there. I don't think he's creating New Testament law. And that's exactly what he means, I think, when he says, but I say to you. That's New Testament law there. And there's a connection between Old and New Testament. But Jesus is not just clarifying, he's teaching New Testament law. Teaching. You shall not commit adultery. That's the law. Whoever looks at a woman to lust after, that's the New Testament. They're not the same thing. There's a difference in there. And the word D, as an adversarial, opposition, contrasted, it indicates that. There's a contrast. He's not just further clarifying New Testament law or Old Testament law. He's teaching New Testament law. And there's a contrast that's expressed there.
A couple of questions. Not really to argue a point, but when God used the necessary inference on divorce, not per se divorce, because that was something that Moses instituted according to what Jesus said. Jesus said he instituted that because of the hardness of the people's heart. He said, but from the beginning, that wasn't so. And I say that to say this, because under the law, God had what he called a jealousy offering. A jealousy offering sacrifice. You know, she had to drink, and if the thigh rotted, if she would be found unclean. So God always had a way of removing the one person out of the way so the other person would be free. And the second part of that was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were still teachings under the law. Because the law didn't change, as the brethren has just said, until God resurrected Jesus. And then Jesus said, all power and authority has been given unto me. Now this is what you need to go and teach. And this is how you need to teach it. Because I think the point was made earlier about Romans chapter 7. And its great inferences on that 1 and 2. Because the law was binding as long as the other party was alive. And I think it also ties in with 1 Corinthians chapter 7. All of them ties in together. Okay, one can go, they both can go separate ways, but they couldn't be reunited to anybody else. If they wanted to be back husband, or he wanted to be sexually involved, then he had to go back to his wife. Or she had to go back to her husband. And the third part was in Luke chapter 24, the things that Jesus came to fulfill is like what he said with Moses and the prophets and the Psalms had spoke of concerning him. Those are the things that he fulfilled. It's like he said earlier, he didn't come to do away with what God said. He just came, like Brother Boniface, to add to what had already been said.
Well, I think he fulfilled the Old Testament law, and he takes away the first law of Moses in order to establish the second. And that's the way I think we need to look at it. We don't need to look at it to see how does this... Jesus took away the law of Moses. It is not in any way an authoritative law over Christians today. Not in any way. And he gave us the New Testament, which is an authoritative law over Christians today. Let me look at something real quick here. Let me throw something out to you guys. In Matthew chapter 19, they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And that's the Pharisees speaking. That's how the Pharisees interpreted Deuteronomy chapter 24. Now, in verse 8, he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. It was a permission. But from the beginning, it was not so. Now, let me tell you something about this verse in connection to what we've studied. This is maybe why I bring it up. So there's this thing about, we could keep working our way through. Number one, they said, why did Moses command you to get? That's the Pharisees. Jesus didn't say Moses commanded you. He said Moses permitted you. And we need to learn the phrase hardness of hearts. We need to learn something else about divorce in the Old Testament. But he didn't say Moses commanded you. He said Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. And you might take a look at the comparison verse in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, when Jesus, same question here, but in Mark 10, verse 4, the Pharisees said, Moses permitted, they got it right this time in Mark chapter 4, they said Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. Jesus answered and said, because of the hardness of your heart. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus doesn't say anything about Moses permitting, because the Pharisees got it right in Mark chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees got it wrong. Why did Moses command? He said Moses permitted. He corrected that right there. Now, he says, for the hardness of your hearts, that helped need some extra explanation that I'm not going to give right now unless you pursue it. He permitted you to divorce your wives. It was allowed. It was not commanded. It was permitted. Then he says, but. Can you guess what word, what conjunction the word but is? It's that word day that we were talking about, that contrastive word. And here's the contrast. And actually, here he begins to make the point. But from the beginning, we look past, beyond Moses, from the beginning it was not so. From the beginning, you weren't allowed to divorce people for the hardness of your hearts. You weren't allowed that. From the beginning, it was not so. And, now, he uses the word day there again, but he uses it, Freiberg said, as a coordinating conjunction. He's adding, what Jesus said here actually links back beyond Moses to what existed at the beginning. The coordinating conjunction at the beginning of verse 9 links back to the word but at the end of verse 19. But, superordinating conjunction there, from the beginning was not so, and coordinating conjunction, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another, Jesus' teaching didn't connect back to the law of Moses. He connected back to what was in the beginning. He just bounces right over the law of Moses. Sometimes we're thinking that Jesus is teaching us a little bit more about the law of Moses. But in this case, Jesus skips over and goes back beyond Moses to what existed in the beginning.
Do you have any final comments?
No, thank you. Right. I enjoyed the study. Yeah, I learned yesterday that it was supposed to have been an expository sermon. So, anyway, thank you.